Now more than ever, Lowe's knows you don't just want a low price, you want the lowest price. And with our lowest price guarantee, you can count on us for competitive prices on all your home improvement projects. If you find a qualifying lower price somewhere else on the same item, we'll match it. Lowe's, we help, you save. Price match applies to same item, current price at qualifying retailers. Exclusions and terms apply. Learn how we'll match price at lowes.com/lowest price guarantee.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
I'm joined by Professor Luke O'Neill, Professor of Biochemistry at Trinity College in Dublin. And the good news for people under 30, it's not too late. The news for people over 30, it may be too late. Explain.
That's the damaging thing. That's a massive study. Great one, by the way. Annals of Medicine, very eminent journal. They measured people at the age of 27, 36, 42, 50 and 61, those ages, and then tracked them for decades. It turns out from the age of 36, you're in trouble. So if you're a heavy drinker or a heavy smoker or you don't exercise, the damage is beginning in your mid-30s. If you're younger than that, your body can handle the pressure of these things.
You can actually, if you stop before you're 36, all your bad habits, you won't have repercussions
Older age. Yeah, the younger body can handle the damage that's being done, but once you turn your mid-30s, the damage begins to exhibit itself. And then if you keep doing the bad things, of course, it gets worse and worse as you get older. So the surprise is, Pat, that the damage is evident at the age of 36, you know, which surprised me, you know.
So what are the bad habits that we need to avoid?
Well, they're the usual suspects, Pat. Smoking, heavy drinking and lack of exercise are the big three they measured. And they asked all the people about their drinking and smoking and exercise, and they measured their physical health, their mental health. They measured liver function, heart function, all these various metrics, you know, and could correlate the two. So if you're a heavy smoker, of course, they noticed the big deficit there in the mid-30s, Pat, was mental health problems more than physical, which was a bit surprising maybe. So the smoking is doing the damage that's inside your body, but your health, your mental health is threatened. Heavy drinking, of course, it's physical and mental health. And then, of course, the lack of exercise is physical health is getting damaged if you don't take enough exercise. So it's a bit obvious in a sense, but again, the surprise is it's the mid-30s.
Now, the other thing is that if you develop these habits, although you may, if you're now, say, 31, 32, and you're thinking, at 36, I'll give it all up. The problem is the habit may well be so ingrained in you that you'll find it impossible to give up.
What they've shown as well, and this is one of the important bottom lines from the study, if you set up these habits in your 30s, it's very hard to shake them. You see, so the point they're making is to tell people in their early mid-30s, start getting better at these things, basically, because you'll carry that with you for the rest of your life. And then as the years go by, you'll do better and better. If you keep the bad habits going in your mid-30s, it's very hard to change. Us humans, we seem to stick at the one thing for years, don't we?
Now, they looked at smoking quite specifically because there are obviously the health effects and also the cash effects.
Yeah, it's amazing. I mean, as we know, smoking is very bad for us, but the evidence is really, really compelling. You will knock at least 12 years off your life if you're a heavy smoker. That was the first thing that came out of this, really. Quitting at any age, though, can benefit you. So even if you're in your 60s and you quit, it might give you an extra year.
Okay.
Isn't that incredible? The study showed that as well. But the damage effects of smoking go on and on. Threefold increased risk of dying overall if you're a smoker. Of course, the risk of cancer is obvious as well, but also lung diseases. I mean, we all know this, don't we?
Now, what's the deadline for quitting so that you can have the same life expectancy as someone who never smoked?
Yeah, under 40.
Under 40.
If you quit smoking before you turn 40, you will have the same life expectancy almost as someone who never smoked.
Okay.
If you keep smoking beyond 40, you're in big trouble. It gets a bit too late then, you know. But as I say, you will catch up a bit. You maybe get 1 or 2 years. But another study showed that if you quit when you're 60, you can expect to get 6 more years of life. Isn't that remarkable? Just quitting at the age of 60. So again, the message has to go
out.
It's never too late to change your bad habit. Yeah, so that was a good one.
Now, there was studies that looked at the benefits from changing lifestyle and how quickly they accrue.
Yes, now that's the other great thing here. So a huge study, 3,000 people studied, Pat, which is a good number, you know. Almost within a day or two, they show benefits.
These are
smokers who give up, yeah. It's obvious that they breathe better, they sleep better, their skin tone improves because smoking, of course, is damaging the skin. Your hair is a bit shinier, these obvious things in a way. But the big one was your mental health improves, but incredibly. They also showed us if you quit for 28 days, if you stick it out, you're much more likely to stay off. So you got to get over the hump, as they call it. And once you get to a month out, you're much more likely not to start smoking again, which is great, isn't it? Your risk of going back is a lot less if you stick it out. So for some reason, the brain is changing, I guess, over the month.
If you're smoking substantially, you'll save a lot of money if you stop smoking.
Well, that's the next thing. Now, in Ireland, Pat, look at this. It's 45 euros a week on average people spend, right? That's over $2,000 a year, which is a good amount to save. But even more importantly, Pat, if everybody stopped smoking in their 30s now and 40s, we'd save the health service $1 billion a year. We'll be saved in expense because obviously these people are getting ill later, you know. Now, as I say, that could pay for half a children's hospital, a single year, Pat, of savings, you know, is the way to think of it. Now, of course, the reason for that is people in their 50s, 60s, 70s are still smoking. Younger people aren't. So we'll eventually see the economic benefit for our healthcare system trickling through, I guess.
Now, we always think of lung cancer in terms of smoking, but there are other conditions which are affected
by
smoking.
There are. Yeah, esophageal cancer is a big one. Bladder cancer, which is a bit of a surprise, because what's the bladder doing? Now, obviously, you're taking in these toxins. They go into your bloodstream and they end up in the urine, you know, and that can cause cancer of the bladder. There's loads of different cancers that you're at increased risk of if you're a smoker.
Let's talk about the booze.
Yeah.
What damage does that do?
Now, of course, we know heavy drinking, there's a distinction, in fact, between heavy drinking and moderate drinking is the first thing to say. Heavy drinkers, as bad as smoking. I mean, the ill effects are huge. And of course, the risk of alcoholism, and that's a really damaging thing, as we know. And again, if you give up, Pat, it's interesting, within a day or two, your body begins to recover. Your immune system begins to recover. You sleep better. All these benefits happen if you quit. The controversial thing, Pat, is there any safe level of drinking? And as you may know, the World Health Organization have said there's no safe level. Now, one reason for that is there's a risk of cancer. Even low-level moderate drinking increases your risk of cancer. So it's a bit controversial. The HSE would recommend the usual certain number of units per week are seen as somewhat safe. But it's a debate at the moment. Is there any safe level?
Yeah. You're told red wine, great, you know, it'll open up your blood vessels. And then yesterday we heard about chocolate. Ruth Freeman was talking to us about lab-grown chocolate, which can have a boost of some of the chemicals.
Yeah.
So I was thinking, you know, a nice bit of dark chocolate and a glass of red wine. Yes. Was not to like.
Yeah, it's probably all right. No, I think reasonably moderate drinking isn't the worst thing in the world, let's put it that way, you know, apart from the cancer risk.
Now, it's an unequal world. And when it comes to the booze, men fare better than women. Why?
And this is true, Pat. It's very unequal, actually. And all the damaging effects of alcohol were only studied in men for a long time. Isn't that weird? Like many medical things, the women got ignored, you know. But now, more recently, much more damaging for women. And as we know, the limit for women is probably half men per week. The recommendations would be 7 units. Men might be 14, depending on who you talk to. So the women are doing worse. One reason for this is men are bigger.
Yeah.
So that means body weight, and the alcohol is more dilute. Then we've more blood in our system, and the alcohol is more dilute, and therefore is less damaging. A second one is body fat. Women tend to have slightly more body fat than men. Fat absorbs alcohol, and it's in their bodies for longer, and that's causing more damage. And the third one is the brains of women are more sensitive than men to alcohol. So there's more damaging effects in the brain. Hence, the recommendations for women being less than men in terms of the level of drinking they should be doing.
So if a woman drinks the same amount of alcoholism, say half a bottle of wine or whatever, that she is more likely to be tipsy than the
she is and get twice the damage. I mean, it's a serious enough thing, fantasy. It's not quite twice, but in that range, you know.
Now, what about exercise? You know, this thing, 1,000 steps a day, and then you'll see ads online saying it's not 1,000 steps. It can be as little as 1,500 steps. Blah, 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 blah. What's the evidence?
Well, again, loads of studies is the usual thing. Again, we know exercise is good for us, but the science is so compelling more and more. And what I liked about this, Pat, was 72,000 people over 62 were measured, right? And 15 minutes a week, that's all you need to do, 15 minutes of rigorous exercise. And what that means is getting out of breath. So walk fast would do, you know? So 15 minutes a week, 18% lower risk of dying. If you do 19 minutes, you have a 40% decreased risk of heart disease. So simply doing 19 minutes of exercise a week almost halves your risk of having heart disease when you're past the age of 62. Now, you've got to get out of breath. Now, that means maybe a jog or a run or a walk.
It's really about the heart rate, isn't it?
Not exactly. And of course, anybody of that age is listening, maybe check with your GP, because we don't want people running
healing
necessarily.
Over.
But certainly, and they showed as well, 2-minute bursts. You don't need to do the 15 minutes all in one go. You could do 2 minutes a day of getting out of breath, they showed. That was as beneficial as doing it all in one go per week, you know.
But the bottom line here is that you can do what you like until you're 36.
We can't give people a license either. But I think the bottom line here is, in your mid-30s, you better have a think about it, you know, and begin to think about your habits. Because if you reform your habits to some extent, it'll do you good in the long run.
Expect a much longer life.
Exactly.
You know. Luke O'Neill, Professor of Biochemistry at Trinity College in Dublin, thank you very much for joining us.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.